I need to get my own butt plug out of my own ass.
Oh, what the fuck happened here?
It's terrible.
All right, ready, Jimmy? I ask, like, you haven't been ready for the last 30 minutes, know, and we're all so fucking around.
So, yeah. The minute I walk through that door. Welcome to the Hype Attack Podcast,
where we weigh in on the latest in nerd and pop culture hype.
We are the hype.
We're the excited conversation we all have with our friends
about the nerdy things we love
and geek about.
We are the Hype Attack.
I am the hype!
Oh.
Wow.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Hype Attack. Woo. I'm Jermaine, here as always, Doug, Isaac, and Rudy.
Hi.
Hey.
What up? On today's Hype episode, we're going to talk about Comic-Con 2024 and some of the news that broke out into that. And then after that, we're going to dive into some Deadpool and Wolverine.
Oh. Yeah.
Finally, we got that movie. Finally.
Yeah.
That's it. Already just saying yeah. Ding.
Anyway, so what we're hype about dovetails nicely with Comic-Con just ending. So what do you guys got? What are you guys excited for? What got announced? What got teased? What got shown?
Well, let me just dive into the...
Yeah. Let's just talk about Comic-Con in general. Go ahead.
So the big news, of course, the Marvel panel and... Hall H, that Robert Downey Jr. is coming back to the MCU as Doomsday. No, I'm just kidding. Dr. Doom. And the crowd went wild. He did his, what was it, his infamous pose that he did in the original Iron Man. Welcome to me.
Glasses and everything.
Yeah.
Pockets filled with $100 million.
So how do we feel yeah, about how do you guys feel the about return?
Okay. So, if he is a Tony Stark variant, and they explain that, I mean, even though, you know, they've already said he's playing, was it Victor Von Doom, right? Mm-hmm. Is that Dr. Doom's real name?
Yeah.
If they explain that he is, in fact, a Tony Stark variant, and it's part of the story, then I'm kind of with it. Because there's a lot to play with there, as far as, like, the hero seeing who he is, and, like, There's obviously stuff to play with. If he's not a variant and they just brought him back, it's fucking stupid. it's too much money. There's too many good actors out there that could play that part. I mean, I can't name any off the top of my head, but I'm sure they're out there. And so I just it better be a variant. That's all.
So a lot of people wanted I forget his name, but oh boy, that was in 28 Days Later. He was Scarecrow and
Cillian Murphy. Yeah. Cillian Murphy would be wonderful.
Yeah. So a lot of people wanted him to play, but apparently there's a What If comic book that exists where this story does take place, where instead of Victor and Reed Richards being college roommates, it's Victor and
Tony Stark.
Yeah, Tony. I was about to say Robert Downey Jr., but yeah, Tony Stark. So a thing happens where he tricks him, but they mind swipe.
Oh.
And he goes into Tony's body, and Tony goes into his body. But for whatever reason, Tony doesn't remember that he was swapped.
Okay.
And then the story, you know, goes forward, and they all... lead the life that they're doing, and you know, Victor, aka Tony Stark, creates like a Iron Man Doomsday suit, and you know, Tony Stark leads the life of Victor. But you know, then of course things ensue. But I won't say too much. But there is a What If story out there. But for me, I just really wanted it to just be, you know,
Somebody passed the torch.
Someone new.
Yeah, just somebody new.
Cillian Murphy would have been great.
Yeah. I do get it because I get it on Marvel's side because they feel like they're in shambles right now and they need to do something to bring people back, but I don't know if...
Well, I think there's... excuse me. Sorry. Clean.
Okay, good. So good.
I think there is something to it, though, because they are obviously... So let's back up a little bit. They announced that the next Avengers movie is no longer Kang Dynasty because Jonathan Majors did some bad things. Yeah, and honestly, I would say that the audience wasn't really latching on to that. Ant-Man Quantumania was supposed to set that up, and that didn't do too well.
And then Loki, too, right?
Yeah, Loki set up a lot of that, and I don't know how many people... I mean, Loki was a great show. If you haven't watched it, you should watch it. But I know a lot of people didn't watch it. And so I'm... Again, going back to the variant idea, I feel like maybe they went this way just so they can get something out of this multiverse, mm-hmm. right? Like, they did a lot of multiverse stuff, and they didn't really get much out of it. They got the fun Spider-Man show and Doctor Strange and the What If cartoons. But, like, they with losing Kang, they probably needed something to play off of the variant thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so... One, the new Fantastic Four movie is, I'm assuming, where they're going to introduce Doctor Doom.
Mm-hmm.
And that is set in a different universe than the main MCU. And it's supposed to be like in the 60s or whatever like that. So it is there to be set up as a variant of Tony Stark. And if maybe they'll play off of even that comic idea of Victor and Tony Stark in that universe mm-hmm. were in college together or something like that. Like that, there is some play to it. And I like I said, I think it would be a cool way to pay off at least some of this multiverse build up and then get back into the normal traditional stuff.
Because I do feel the variant makes sense because of the fact that we are getting a female Silver Surfer, which there is, you know,
Julie Gardner, right?
Yeah. So if it does take place in a different universe, then that's what it's going to be. So we'll see. But I know the crowd, you know, went hype and you know they rage, but there were certain people that I follow that are kind of like big comic heads, and they kind of feel like the same way I did. I'm not saying it's going to be a waste, but it it's just one of those things. Like, man, it would have been cool just to see somebody else come in and get some of that shine.
Do you think that since they're playing with all the multiverse stuff, like, they're trying to get something out of it, like once all that's over and they establish a timeline, you know, because they're going to keep trying to plow forward with all this, that they'll just recast all those roles? Like, we'll actually get a Doom in universe as opposed to a variant Doom, if that's, you know, the direction they're going?
Maybe. I don't know, because I feel like at some point... Yeah, I mean, maybe at some point they are going to do their Flashpoint moment mm-hmm. and just recast everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because they need to figure out a way to bring the mutants in a way that makes sense. And I no matter how they do that...
Better not fuck that up.
Yeah, but no matter how they do that, they're going to lose a bit of the history with Professor X and Magneto.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, okay. They're going to lose a little bit of history with Professor X and Magneto because the whole idea is they were supposed to be Holocaust survivors and, you know, went through parallels with that and the mutants and stuff. We've talked about this on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I almost feel like they're going to need to do some sort of Flashpoint reboot kind of thing.
So far, it feels like they're doing, like, a soft reboot. And with, like, Deadpool Wolverine, they're showing how... You know, it's the merging of all these other properties into the current Sacred Timeline, although that's like old verbiage now with the Sacred Timeline thing, and it's kind of technically now like Loki kind of bringing together all of these different universes and timelines that get to sort of exist all at the same time. I think everything's gonna now exist on 616. I don't know if they're gonna. I mean, that's the thing with it, like this multiverse variant thing is like there's the ability to be like, okay, there we go. We had fun with RDJ as Victor Von Doom, but now let's switch it up and give somebody else a chance. Yeah. But because they're bringing him in, I feel like he might be here to stay for a little bit longer.
Oh, yeah, because there's the two Avengers movies.
That's right, yeah.
Doomsday and then Secret Wars is still going to happen, and I'm sure he'll be a part of it through all of that, which, I mean, it's exciting. And I think they announced also in the comic line for this year, the big story is going to be a Doctor Doom kind of taking over the comic world, mm-hmm. too. So it sounds like a big Doctor Doom push, and he has always been listed as, like, you know, one of the top-tier villains in all comics. Marvel doesn't have many, but they have, like, Magneto and Doctor Doom, so...
I'm not too familiar with Doom. Is he an eccentric guy? Because RDJ can't help but be eccentric. You know what I'm saying?
I see these guys.
Like, no, he's like, weird dead, comics. Like I am Doom. Like, yeah. I am Victor Von Doom.
That's why,
like,
Killian Murphy seems like it would have been the fucking best choice.
He's not quirky. He's very much, like, he knows he's the second smartest man in the room.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely fine letting everyone know that, and, like, he is arrogant and, you know, this is beneath me, you know, ha ha ha,
and he'll kill you cold-blooded too,
because I want that Doom to be played like that, mm-hmm. you know. Anything can happen, and if they write the right story, then sure, let's see what happens. I hope that, like, with Deadpool Wolverine and them being allowed to make so many entertainment jokes, so many jokes about how the multiverse has been shit and everything like that, I hope that they can go, okay, now let's move forward and actually focus on, instead of putting, because it's what, going to be one Marvel movie a year, so instead of pumping out, like, multiple things, it's like, now let's actually concentrate our efforts. We realize, let's take the L and crank something out.
Yeah, one can only hope.
Because, dude, you're going to lose so many people. Like, it's one thing to have RDJ back, and there's a little bit of, like, controversy with that, because it's like, why not give someone else the try? So we all love Robert Downey and Stark and everything, so it better mean something, mm-hmm. to bring that person back, even though it'll kind of be a variant, right? So let's make it not for nothing. Let's put some real fucking importance into that.
Yeah, don't let it just be like a cash grab just to try to bring people back.
And so, because if it is just a cash grab, you're going to lose so many people that were, like, just barely hanging on.
Yeah.
You know?
If he does end up being a variant, and I mean, it would have been so hard to do, but part of me wonders again, like, man, what if they didn't announce it and they just brought Doom in? And, like, we, the audience, experience the same time, like, when they're fighting Doom and, like, that mask comes off and fucking Peter Parker has to stare at the face of Tony Stark. I mean, it'd be a lot to explain.
I know who I am.
I swear to God, if there's a Deadpool 4 and if fucking Ryan Reynolds doesn't do that, because you sent the meme where it's like RDJ playing everyone, if they don't fucking do that, because, I mean, you know, Reynolds has been pretty good about, like, doing some fan service shit. Yeah. I mean, even Disney itself, or the MCU has done that fan service thing, like in the Multiverse of Madness, having Krasinski as Richard Reeves, like that. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be Richard Reeves, but it's just a little fan service thing. Yeah. Like, it's nice for them to, you know, acknowledge the audience.
Maybe the next season of What If.
But you know what's so crazy to me? they listen to that fan service. Yeah. So therefore, we know they hear what we're saying.
Yeah, you hear that, Feige?
And you guys
know
still,
that you know,
you guys
we
are still
know.
Making shitty Kevin. Movies? That's the shit that got me, son.
They should totally do a what if episode where it's a world of just people that look like Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, my God.
The whole world. Just get him to voice it. Hire him to do one episode. Haunting. Voice all of us.
That's wonderful.
Money.
It's, man, that's that thing. Like, we do give Kevin Feige, like, a lot of credit for, I mean, because of him. He was, what was his role in like,
I used
the
to
first
give him
X-Men?
Credit.
That's
him
what
a
I'm saying.
Credit.
It's like,
I used to.
You know, a lot of this shit wouldn't have happened because of him. I know it's a big, you know, there's a variety of reasons and stuff like that, but, like, Jesus Christ, the back half of this shit, you're like, Feige, you're fucking losing it, man.
Because
he like, had the nerd knowledge.
Yeah, he had the nerd knowledge, but I used to give him the credit. But it's just one of those things that when you see the people who they bring on to write and direct these movies, it's one of those things, you know, was it Feige that was doing this the whole time? Or was it just the people? Because they're also bringing back the Russo brothers because they're hoping that they can get that magic back. Mm-hmm. So that's my thing. You know, I'm like, is it really Feige or is it the people that's actually writing these movies and he's just reading it and say, okay, that's solid. So go ahead with that.
There's a lot to it
with the Russo brothers coming back, with RDJ coming back into the MCU. It's this sort of acknowledgement that they know that they've been fucking up. Even though, you know, the internet and the audience has been very loud about that stuff, right? I feel, this is my personal opinion, I feel like it's a bit of an acknowledgement of that. Mm-hmm. But there also is this tone of desperation. Just a little, this whiff of desperation, bringing the, you know, what worked, bringing the Russo brothers back, bringing RDJ back into it. He was kind of like our anchor being, you know?
At first I thought a little bit of that as well, like a little bit of desperation. But I also... I feel like they're almost just caving to the general nerd audience and maybe the audience as a whole just not wanting stuff to be fucking different. So going back to what you were saying, like, is it the writers and directors? It's also just the characters. That first phase leading up to Endgame and stuff was like all the characters that everybody knows and we liked, and we liked the actors, and all we had of them were movies that were all... like, not all good. The Thor movies weren't great. Definitely. I mean, I look back at some of those Iron Man movies. They weren't great. Like, it wasn't like Marvel was knocking it out of the park. It's just Infinity War and Endgame were amazing. And that's mostly because they were able to just bring in established characters that we all got. Yeah. We all knew. We were excited to see them together. And they were able to focus on a villain that worked really, really well.
I felt that they were solid enough movies where they can keep going forward. Even if they said... they were figuring out as they went, mm-hmm. which they came out after the fact. But it was one of those things. The movies were good enough for them to keep pushing this story forward until they, you know, figured out, like, their bearings. And then they got a lock on everything, and then they pushed forward. And Endgame was it. Because after that, it seemed like they didn't have anything to...
grab onto to
give like the next chapter, you know, a chance to even, you nothing know, was have, like,
I think
some of that promise that the first,
I think,
first
they,
half did.
I think they did. I think it's just the audience didn't want it. I mean, I thought like the Winter Soldier, I mean, they switched to series, which is just, you know, some series can be good. And we've talked about this. Mm-hmm. There are the Game of Thrones and stuff out there in the world. But that's obviously not what, you know, they were planning. They just wanted to do quick little mini series for things like Winter Soldier and Captain Falcon. That I thought that like explored some interesting things. I do, like, for me, I appreciated a lot of the stuff that Marvel did after the fact because they were exploring this world.
Yeah.
They were exploring what the blip did and all of that. And I love that because it's world building and it does take this nerd shit to another level of like let's actually explore the psychological effects and sociological effects of this stuff. But people don't want that. They want to see Captain America punch someone again.
So I do agree with everything you just said. For me, it's, you know, I've been saying it, you know, for forever, but it's just the direction. And when these movies end, you just don't know where they're going with it. Like,
yeah.
I don't...
Yeah,
I don't,
Shang-Chi was a great example where that and the Eternals set up who knows what.
I don't mind the exploring, you know, different avenues in these movies, you know, to kind of give you, like, a better feel of, you know, what was going on. Like you said, you know, with the blip and all that stuff. Like, that was cool to see. But it's just... if I'm reading a comic or I'm reading a book, you know, whatever it is, you know, there's a direction that arrow should be going.
I feel
and
that.
We don't know where it's going.
They gave us a taste of what a shared universe, you know, with a guiding hand looks like. And then they kind of just meandered after Endgame. And instead of giving us like a, okay, here's all these different things and, you know, exploring all these different themes, but there's no overriding kind of direction.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were just like, okay, well, what the hell's, where's it all going?
The only standout one was Loki, because it was a series, but not only that, it set up the TVA, it kind of set up the multiverse in a way. And like the what was going to be the big bad timelines. It just had all of that exposition and presented it, packed it all in there, and then it put a lot of importance in the TVA and how this universe or these universes, how it all functioned. It set up the rules and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And so the problem is when you set up rules and you're having these different movies is like you have to abide by some of those rules. And it gets a little tiring sometimes where like the analytical part of your brain goes, but didn't they set up this rule where they said they could and couldn't do that? And you're like, and you ruin it for yourself. You're like, fuck, what happened? I'm just like watching as like a standalone movie. So it's you can't watch these movies anymore as like standalone movies. Like you said, you're like, oh, is it setting up a thing? Is there a connection to this, that, and the other? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, are you just watching it as a comic book movie? Do you have to go into it in that regard? You know?
Yeah. And like, you know, along those lines, I think they also experimented with different genres within the superhero genre, like subgenres. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at She-Hulk as a great example. It's like, She-Hulk was a comedy, sitcom-y kind of show. And so the same thing where it's like, well, I don't want to watch a show like that. I like She-Hulk, but you know, so I could totally see people saying like, I don't want to watch a show like that. Or even WandaVision, especially the way it started. Like, I don't want to watch a show like that. But then you kind of feel that missing out on like, well, fuck, I hope they don't reference that in the next big movie.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, like, the Russo brothers, like, the formula is there again, right? We know who our big bad is going to be. It's going to be Dr. Doom, played by RDJ. So it's going to be an amazing villain. And they're going to have the same setup that they had with Infinity War and stuff like that. Because by the time that hits, we're going to have plenty of movies and plenty of characters to bring in. But it's not going to be the same impact because it's not going to be characters that people necessarily care about or even know at this point. Like if She-Hulk drops in or some of the other side characters they've introduced in any of these shows, like,
well, because didn't WandaVision sort of lead into Multiverse of Madness? Because if you didn't watch WandaVision and you're like, you know, wherever the fuck Scarlet Witch, where technically she wasn't Scarlet Witch, wherever Wanda left off, you miss WandaVision, you then pick up with Multiverse of Madness and you go, why is she bad? What the fuck happened? Yeah. What
and,
kids?
And huh? Agatha that's coming out, like, same, that was all set up in WandaVision and stuff.
And Vision, like, if you see Vision again, like, his color.
Vision's going to be...
We're not bringing Where'd race, come from? We're not bringing race into this.
But White Vision?
I lost my train of thought.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I mean, we'll see where it goes. Hopefully now that they do have a villain picked, hopefully they go with it. You know, like I said, I think they had something going with Kang Dynasty. I don't know how many people were even aware of it. I would tell people, it's like, oh, they're setting up Kang. It's like, who? It's like, all right. There's been like two shows and a movie dedicated
to
it. But
the same thing was like Thanos. Like, nobody knew.
How many average people knew Thanos?
But they teased him at the end of the first Avengers.
Did anybody here watch that, the Avengers cartoon, whatever it was called, like the Mighty Avengers or something like that? I think Kang was one of like the main, one of the main villains in that series. So he kind of got a little bit of exploration in that series.
Like these characters are all around, but they're like peripheral to like the, you know.
They're not super obscure. Like, you know, Cassandra Nova in Deadpool Wolverine was kind of like really obscure, you know.
Yeah. Sure, I feel like the Guardians of the Galaxy was one of those that, like, who?
Yeah. And I'm sorry. And I've said this before when we bring up Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm like, you can have an obscure character or characters or team, whatever. Mm-hmm. And with good writing, storytelling and film, whatever, you can make people give a fuck about it.
Yeah. The difference, though, when I would tell people Kang and they'd be like, who? It's like, oh, well, like the bad guy that Loki and Ant-Man set up. Oh, I didn't watch those. It's like, that's where it was different. Like Thanos.
That's true. Yeah.
Thanos, like I said, they teased at the end of Avengers. They teased him or they talked about it in Guardians. Like, people generally knew who Thanos was because they were following along, but now it's like
that's exactly it. Following along because there was, you know, just the one or two movies coming out the year. There were no fucking shows coming out. Now there is just an oversaturation of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that they're reeling it back in and going like, all right, just one here and there, so people can actually follow along instead of saying what we usually say is like, oh, there's too much things to watch.
And I knew they were lying when they were coming up. Oh, the next phase isn't going to be 10 years. It's only going to be 5 years. I said, mm-hmm.
what I'm excited for is I want to see Avengers versus X-Men.
Yeah, that was teased, or Feige teased it, I think.
This is like
a possibility.
The mutant era.
So we can
want the mutant phase.
Yeah, but we got to get through all this next phase before we fucking get to the mutants. So.
Well, and then the big disappointment.
That's what it feels like.
The big disappointment from that is, of course, is going to be it's not the Avengers.
Correct.
Right? It's not going to be the Avengers that we know. It's going to be this new Avengers that they still haven't started setting up.
Ah, that's so true. God damn it.
Like that,
and then we still have them. They still have to introduce the new Black Panther going forward, which going to be a big event too. That should be a big monumental moment because the way how the last one ended, you know, it's like, because he has his name and, you know, he's going to be, of course, the next, his son anyways. So that should be a big.
You don't think Sherry would have it for one more movie?
She could possibly have it and then he take over from that, but
I feel like there needs to be still like one more big like half Avenger movie or something like coming up. I mean, I guess maybe Brave New World will probably like establish some of it, a lot of it maybe.
I have heard some characters are gonna supposedly pop up, so we'll see.
Yeah, they always kind of, I felt like they always use the Captain America as kind of like in-betweens.
Yeah.
That's right. No, Civil War is technically a Captain America movie.
Yeah.
So Falcon still doesn't have his movie yet? Damn it.
No, oh, that's right. It was a Holland that fucking teased him about that.
I mean, we spent a lot of time on Doctor Doom, but real quick, anything else from Comic-Con?
Yeah, you guys want to jump in on anything?
I saw DC, the one thing that they showed trailer-wise was the Creature Commandos cartoon, which looks fun. It looks like it's got a good style. And
I do love it. DC animated movies, regardless of what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is technically, I mean, even though they keep saying Superman's like the beginning of the DCU, like this has got to be the beginning of the DCU because it's coming out first. So I don't understand that. But I'm excited for it because I know they did say that like some of these characters that exist in the cartoons can and will appear in live action, and some of the live action characters are going to appear in the cartoons, and they're going to try to keep the actors that are involved in both to do both. So it's just exciting to see any, you know, news from DC.
Didn't like CW Flash do that? Do you remember, this is going real far back, but you know, you had CW Flash, you had CW Arrow, and then you would have, I think it was like Vixen was this just like miniseries animation thing, but you would still have those in universe Arrow.
Oh yeah, wasn't Green Arrow in the series too?
Yeah. And they would be voiced by their respective.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I'm like, all right. So a little sampling of it there. Nice. And I liked it. It was fun. Because you, at the same time, like we've talked about this, Jesus Christ, first season of Hype Attack, where, you know, we're talking about the Flash and like how CW Flash, because he's in his own world, he's very moody and broody and stuff. You're like, that's not the Flash I fucking know. But in that show, he got to be like fun.
Yeah.
Nice.
What else happened at Comic-Con?
I would say, okay, so I really don't want to sound like I'm gatekeeping, but... I do feel like that Comic-Con is getting way too touristy, like too many people. And I feel, because I'm guilty of it. I tell everyone like, oh, you should go sometime. You should go sometime. And I feel like
you're the problem.
Yeah. I feel like we're at the point now where
no Swift in this room.
I love going to conventions, gaming conventions. I used to go to BlizzCon. I'd get into E3 somehow. I'm not going to say how. And you're around people that like love this stuff and they're into it and there's an excitement to it. And I admit this year for Comic-Con, I didn't go to any of the panels because I just ran out of time. And the second day I was there, none of the panels really caught my attention. And the panels, you can get that excitement. You get those super nerdy questions getting asked to the writers or something like that. I love it. But this year, like, the vibe just wasn't there. Like, it just felt like so many people that barely liked the stuff. Or maybe they, you know, they brought their kids. But, like, I don't know. And, like, the cosplay, not a lot of cosplay really stood out to me this year. Which I think, again, like, no offense to the cosplay community. I when I see something that I know someone made by hand, I love it. It's awesome. But I do also feel like there's a lot of cosplay now that's just, like, people are probably just buying the 3D printed stuff and putting it on, or they're buying the rubber suit that's just pre-made. Like, a lot of the cosplay is beginning to look the same. It's beginning to look pretty good quality. But I feel like it's losing a little of its, like,
it handmade. Was kind of warm out there, so I was like, maybe that's why.
It was very hot. There's not a lot
of people. It's always hot in the summer in San Diego, though. And, like,
Like,
this year did seem like a little lacking in, like, the depth of the cosplay.
I was trying to save us. What are you guys doing?
I saw a dude dressed as a lizard. So,
like, the people, you could tell the people who really, like, do it and, like, are passionate about it were there.
Yeah.
But there was a lot more of, like, the people wearing, like, the t-shirt and, like, a mask, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw one guy walking around with a helmet on and, like, greaves, or, like, you know, gloves, and then it was a t-shirt and shorts. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Sometimes I appreciate, like, you know, there was a couple Batman Who Laughs, and again, same thing, like, really well done and like, super impressive, but I saw, like, one kid that just kind of made his own. I was like, that kid's fucking awesome. I should have taken his picture, because
I do like the creative ones. The guy that was dressed up as Sailor Mars, but he was Bruno Mars.
Yeah, that's the fun stuff.
That was comedy.
That would take on my fancy, yeah.
And then
you were telling me about that, weren't you?
Yeah.
And then they had the Power Ranger people that was walking around with the Power Ranger helmet, but then they all had their suits on, you know, so they had, like, a spiffy suit on.
Yeah, it's kind of like a James Bond Power Rangers kind of look to it. It was pretty cool.
Reservoir Dogs? Was that the reference? Mr. Pink, Mr. White?
Oh, maybe. I don't know, maybe. But then I also would just say, like, the content, like, Abbott Elementary, right? I've heard it's a good show. I don't watch it.
Yeah.
But they had such a huge presence. There was, like, a giant billboard. There was a huge, like, thing in the back where you can go play games or whatever. And I was just like, that's not fucking Comic-Con stuff. Yeah. And I know it's always been, like, pop culture, but it's like, I guess because this year was such a lacking year in superhero movies and sci-fi stuff, really, that, like, maybe they need it more. But, like, I go there, and it's like, oh, there's Abbott Elementary, and like, I don't know. I was missing. And then there's a bunch of new stuff that, like, I hadn't heard of, and but it didn't catch my attention. But that could just be me. I'm an asshole.
I do look at it like we're not back to what Comic-Con was, because a lot of the studios.
That's where I wanted to get to. Yeah.
And the movies and things, you know, we're not, you know, jam-packed anymore, you know, where there's so much content out there movie wise you know, because back in the day, you know, you were getting the Harry Potter movies, you were getting the Marvel movies, you were getting the DC movies, and those Hall H lines, you know, they were crazy long. But after COVID and everything reopened, I feel like it's still not back to its peak yet.
Yeah, from 2016 2017 to all the way up till the pandemic hit, like, that every year was bigger and bigger and bigger, and more hype and more people were coming. And then the pandemic hit, shut everything down. It was gone for 2 years?
Yeah.
Before it came back up. And then, like, that first one back was real bare bones.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, subsequent one we all missed out on. And then, yeah.
Full disclosure, by the way, I didn't get any tickets for this year's Comic-Con. I did, like, the outdoor free stuff with you on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So was sort of enjoying it peripherally.
And then it came back this year, and, like, it did seem like they were just filling a lot of space that's usually taken up by the traditional Marvel and DC properties that are scattered everywhere, the sci-fi and all that stuff. Like, I saw Abbott Elementary, and I'm like, huh, that's not something I would think would have that big of a presence at Comic-Con. And then that activation behind the convention center was just, it, like you said, it was huge. And I was like, really?
We covered a little bit of this when we were talking, I think, LA Comic Con, or just Comic Con in general. And that is, like, the early days when you guys were going, it felt more like Hollywood didn't have their dick in it. You know, that kind of like, you know, big flashy influence events, stuff like that. Like, it felt like, we're with the like-minded people. Now everyone else that goes there, like, to your point, like, the touristy people, they're like, oh, I don't give a shit about the fucking comics. I don't give a shit about the voice actors or the illustrators or anything else. Like, I'm here for Jason Momoa and, you know, whoever the fuck else. Like, you know, I think the last time I went was either 2015 or 2016. And I remember that I think either Justice League was being announced or Suicide Squad. I think Justice League, because I remember everybody rushing to that center stage. And as everyone's rushing there for that movie, big blockbuster movie, I was talking with Rob Paulsen, the voice of Pinky, right? And I go like, oh, I don't give a shit about like this big flashiness. Like, this is what it's about. Mm-hmm. Someone who's really passionate about, you know, like the smaller things in mm-hmm. In entertainment and nerd stuff.
And it's just the respect for each other. A few times, and this isn't something recent, but I mean, every once in a while you're there, as you're at the bars or the restaurants, you know, around San Diego Comic-Con, you'll kind of get the feeling that there's some people that go out there just to watch the freaks.
Hmm.
Like people that aren't into any of this at all, but they're just there to watch the people in cosplay and stuff. And you can hear sometimes like the making fun of, or like, what the fuck is that? Like, blah, blah, blah. And again, I get that that's outside the con. They have no control over that, but it adds to that whole like feeling of just like, ah, this really doesn't feel like it's for the nerds anymore. Like it's not, that's, it's not quite as maybe a safe space.
Yeah. I'm feeling that
should be.
When we did LA Comic Con, I liked the feeling of that more. It felt more like, oh, the people that are here are all about it.
Yeah.
More than SDCC.
Mm-hmm.
Which sucks because, like, you know, that's the one that's supposed to be, like, the big one and shit like that. I think you were talking about that they might be moving International Comic-Con around.
It's been a thing, you know, rumored for years, ever since the pandemic. So they're like, well, maybe we should explore, you know, other places to have it. And then the hotels around San Diego are getting a little greedy. So, I mean, it's one of those things they always talk about. I can't imagine it anywhere else right now. And every idea pitch is like, oh, but what about this? What about this? Like, they don't have the gas lamp. They don't have Old Town. Like, they don't have, like, the infrastructure to that makes it a destination where you can do the convention and then do all kinds of other stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see. But I would love to see it stay in San Diego, and I'd love to see San Diego kind of clean up its fucking act a little bit.
Yeah.
Stay classy, San Diego.
One more thing. I and this is something I've been feeling a little bit more and more about it all. And by it all, I mean nerd media in general. It's like, I don't want to be a gatekeeper, and I do feel like all of this stuff should be for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning it shouldn't be hostile towards people, whoever you are. You want to come in and you want to watch it. And there's room for expansion within the media to cater towards a broader audience. But I don't want to see the content change so much in order to make it for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, like, again, Abbott Elementary, and I understand we're still like kind of coming off of Comic-Con or of the pandemic and stuff. But it is one, like, I saw that it's just like, oh, they're trying to make Comic-Con for everybody. And it's like, which to me kills what Comic-Con was. Like, when I tell people, like, you should go to Comic-Con, it's because I want you to go see all the cool nerd shit, mm-hmm. not just general television stuff. Like, it's no longer Comic-Con to me at that point. And I feel like maybe that's the same way about some of the movies and shows and stuff, too, where it's like, oh, you should watch this show. It's really cool. It's like, oh, well, now it's kind of for everybody. It's no longer that cool thing that I liked.
Can I use this moment to segue into our main topic?
Sure, I think we're generally done talking about Comic-Con.
Deadpool and Wolverine felt like a movie that was made more specifically for like the less casual, more hardcore fans.
The 40-year-old people that have been bitching about things not being comic book accurate. Absolutely. It started with a 24-year-old song. It's perfect. I wasn't too happy with it.
With the NSYNC?
No, with the whole movie.
Go.
No, I'm just
no. I'm out of the room. Oh, okay, fuck off. Yeah. Go on. Give me your thoughts.
I've already been ranting.
We like dissenting opinions. Come on.
Yeah.
The movie did a great job of giving everybody what they generally want. It was a fight scene, a fight scene, a fight scene, a fight scene. Here's some cameos. Here's some Easter eggs. The story was actually pretty decent. Like overall, it was a good movie. It was funny. But I just, from my love for comic books and comic book movie stuff, it's just one more, like, kind of those examples of like, yeah, this is what a lot of people like, but this isn't why I like comic books. This isn't why a lot of people like comic books. Like, it's possible to do like some good stories in the comic book realm. I mean, we got that with Chris Nolan's Batman trilogy, and then, you know, within comic books, you look at like Frank Miller's Dark Knight and Kingdom Come, and like there's great stories to be told that don't rely on action and funny jokes and stuff like that. And now I understand this is a Deadpool movie, like that's
bad to say.
That's his thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's just like, okay, like, yeah, this is a movie that's for everybody. It's really, really fun and stuff like that. And I don't know. I liked it. I thought the Wolverine cow looked fucking stupid. I was not, again, I've never been someone that's big on, like, I just want to see it in live action. It's like, I don't care. I'll see it in a cartoon. I'll see it on a comic book. Seeing it in live action a lot of times, I think, is disappointing.
Okay.
I have to agree with you on the cow, because it did look like you the comic, it's fine or whatever, like you accept it in the comic, but you see it in live action and his, like, the pointy was a little too long. Like, it just, if initially it felt kind of weird, but then I, you know, as I'm watching it, I'm like, well, this is what it looked like in the comics, and if I can't accept it on the big screen, then what am I doing?
Well, in the comics though, he's drawn maybe a little more hunched. The angle, like, if they had shot Hugh Jackman, like, from above and him with a hunch, it probably would have looked fine. It looked weird because there was too much of a gap. Like,
maybe that was it. Mm.
Like, there was too much of a gap. Like, normally it's like this pose where, like, you know, ignore the double chin. You know, I don't know, whatever.
And Deadpool's mask, the eyes has never bothered me, but the eyes on Wolverine's mask kind of bothered me a little bit.
I feel...
It was still a cool fucking moment, though, when...
I'm going to fight all of you guys right now.
Yeah, great moment. But the reason why I feel like that, like, it felt weird was because, like, for instance, like, with Spider-Man, right? We're like, well, we can't have him animate his eyes, and then they made it mechanical, and so we allowed him to animate. We needed to put reason into, like, having facial expressions on a mask and shit like that, whereas cartoons would allow for a set of facial expressions, where Deadpool was like, no, let's go fucking comic accurate, and let's just fuck the physics, let's just do it. Why the hell not? Like, it introduced that whole thing, like you said, you know, to camera, it took fucking 20 years to finally get this shit. Like, let's give it a go, let's give it a try. Instead of teasing it at the end of a fucking movie and the people in their actual comic accurate suits, let's just fucking dive balls deep in it. Mm-hmm. And let's just see it on screen. We've had 20 plus years of leather suits and all these variations of shit to make it look like, you know, film ready
Are we watching these comic book movies just to fucking see a suit and see a power and see a person? Or no, are we watching not. These movies to no, get no, no. a movie?
No, yeah. This movie was just for fan service. It's one of those things. But I enjoyed the movie. I didn't love it. I enjoyed the movie. I sat with it after, and I said to myself, I was like, you know what? This is a Deadpool movie. It's not gonna go into the levels of, I don't know, in Infinity War, Endgame. Not saying that that's the peak. After watching all the first movie and the second movie, I enjoyed the first movie. Second movie was all right to me, but it's a typical, you know, Deadpool type of story. So I don't see him, for this movie anyways, doing anything grand, like, especially if they're planning all this stuff for later and this is his introduction into going into the MCU. Like, it's just with Black Panther, you know, too, like, they're just setting things up. So I just took the movie for what it was. Like, it was just a fun, you know, fan service movie. I didn't mind Wolverine's, you know, Kyle, even his eyes, like, I didn't, you know, look at it, it was like, that's filthy, because you look at Batman, you know, and they reference Batman, you know, so I feel like they kind of made it look like, especially with his eyes and everything, granted, you know, even the comic book characters, they all just have the white eyes. But it was just an effect, you know.
What did you say? Wolverine's cowl is just two Batman's kisses.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Future Rudy, can I have you put an edit up here?
Yeah.
So I just took the movie for what it was. Like, it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't on that level, you know, where I was like, oh my God, like, you know, finally, like, this is, you know, the greatest thing that I saw. Was it a fun movie? You know, yes. But, you know, I wouldn't run out there and be like, oh my God, you got to go see this movie. But what they gave us, the suits, I really didn't mind it. Like I said, I just took it for what it was.
It certainly was fun. If I still like lived in a world where I usually just, because I like, I used to have a movie going always, like because I had a second TV and just like ran it. If I still lived in that world, like this would actually absolutely be a movie I'd put on, like, or if I was in a hotel room and it was on, I'd be like, ooh, I'll watch this movie. It was fun.
Yeah.
I lost my train of thought.
I'm so sorry.
No, I absolutely went into that movie expecting exactly what I got. And
there
I
you go.
And I wasn't disappointed with it. Did they lean a little too much into the meta-ness of it? I think they all, this whole movie was about going over the top as a blowout to the Fox universe.
Yeah.
So like I got everything that I expected from it, and I was thoroughly amused. Like I don't think it was a bad movie, and they will get the more serious superhero movie somewhere down the line. And it ain't ever gonna be with in a Deadpool led movie.
There's when you watch Deadpool 1 and 2, and he has his fourth wall breaks, and some references to timelines and X-Men and things that aren't in his movie, right, because it's too expensive or whatever, right? You go, okay, cool. And, like, a lot of those references are, like, I guess, a bit of fan service. Like, ooh, he acknowledged it and stuff like that. And I feel that, like, with Reynolds being like, oh, Deadpool's now a Disney movie? Let's do this. Let's absolutely fucking go. Let's pull no punches. Yes, we'll still have some heart and some serviceable storyline with it because it's still a movie.
Yeah.
And you have to have motivation and everything. But all the while, I feel he's like, let's just do this. Let's go in, you know, guns a-blazing. And he absolutely did. You're right. I do feel where it's like, well, this movie was very referential, which is why, like, I don't feel like it's just for the broad audience, which I'm always fine with. You know, I kind of like when things are for, like, you know, a niche amount of people. But I liked that they took that risk. And I like he did it with passion and all of the references in there. Yes, Deadpool's always meta, but to go that level of meta and be like, damn, he's taking some fucking... It felt like a roast, too. It felt like a heavy roast where it was like, damn, he's taking some goddamn jabs at people, you know? And you could... And he's doing it under the guise of Disney is amazing.
Yeah. And also, he tried to give a lot of the shine to, like, the original Marvel crew, like, which I do believe that was more of a thing that this movie was kind of really about, you know, them with the timelines and trying to erase everything and, you know, go forward. You know, it's one of those things going forward. You can't forget about the ones that paved the way, you know.
Oh, 1,000%. It was very meta in that way, where them even establishing the whole idea of like an anchor being and it being Logan, you know, is sort of saying that like Hugh Jackman's Wolverine is the reason why that Fox universe even works. It's why
so
it has like
Marvel genius?
Fucking 10 movies. Yeah, out of 20 over 23 years. Like that's no one's done that shit. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I like what it did in that regard. And that's where I feel when, going back to like RDJ, I was like, is Robert Downey the anchor being to this to 616?
Yeah,
you know, is that why it's kind of falling apart?
My burning question though, Jermaine, seeing fucking Channing Tatum.
Oh my god,
as Gambit. I need your opinion. Yes,
I almost died. So
I yelled out loud when that fool walked out. I was like, get the fuck out of here. Wow. They did it.
I love that they brought him on the scene. So because I'm a big Gambit fan.
Spoiler alert.
When I heard he was attached to that movie, I was like, oh, here we go. So just seeing him, I don't know which one is true, but I don't know if he's from that area or if he has family from the area. So they said that he could pull off the accent, which when he did it, I hope he was exaggerating like so hard because it is a Deadpool movie, because I was like, oh, my God, if you were talking this way through the whole Gambit movie, bro, you would kill me.
Dude, talk about like one of those things where it's like, oh, do you adapt it from the shows and put it into live action? And then you're like, oh, how does it play?
Yeah. Oof. I just felt they went super extra with everybody because Blade was delivering like his lines, you know, like normally.
Motherfuckers, ice skate uphill.
Yeah. And it, so when I just saw Gambit, you know, I was like, they're going to push it to the limit. But the fight scene that he had, though, I was like, oh my God, this shit is real. I need this. I need more of him. The suit, I didn't care for it too much.
Yeah, he just looked weird.
But
yeah.
It just looks funny.
But that thing has always looked weird to me. Yeah. That whole...
Again, it's like something that works, it works like in a well-drawn art, like comic panel.
It's his... It's more so his
needed to be adjusted. I don't like the material.
Like the proportion of his face. Like,
yeah.
I know certain people, you know, like certain cows for Batman. You know, some people don't like, you know, like kind of like the round, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was more so one of those things, you know, for me just seeing it. I didn't mind the suit design. It was just certain aspects of the suit. I was like, yeah, you could have did that a little different.
Since you love Gambit so much, what did you feel? How did you feel about X-Men Origin Wolverine Gambit popping up in that?
No comment.
Okay.
Taylor Kitsch from
there you go.
Friday Night Lights.
All right.
He was only in it briefly, right?
That's right.
John Gotta.
My problem with the Channing Tatum Gambit is I wanted them to put more respect on him. And so when he sort of like stepped out of character and did more Tatum stuff of like, my daddy be shooting buttery loads and my mom, where you're like, come on, man.
Yeah,
like, you finally had this fucking opportunity.
That was funny,
this is tryout, you know?
But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying it is a Deadpool movie, graphic. So you're not going to get that version of Gambit yet. But just seeing a glimpse of the potential, I was like, oh, my God, need that.
Do you think he knows, like, just like with Krasinski's Richard Reeves, do you think he knows, like, look, this is just another a fan service thing.
So people
actually get to see it and be like, look, he's in the universe.
Exactly.
And it'll never happen again. So why not throw a stupid line like that?
And the...
I would have opted out for it, honestly, just me.
Were you guys all shocked with the Chris Evans?
Well, hold on, real quick about the Gambit. The fight scene, you're right, was amazing.
Fantastic.
And it's one of those things that I've kind of complained about the Marvel movies before, is like, we rarely get to see like some cool superhero powers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it just stood out in a show of swords and blades. Mm-hmm. Like, it stood out to see like some cool shit with the blowing up, the cars, like so many great, great moments that just...
He blew up a guy.
a few of them, yeah.
I was like,
Chris Evans, I fucking loved it. I loved it.
When he popped up, I'm like, oh, they really put fucking Captain America in this. Like, he had the whole look and everything.
Yeah.
And then, like, as soon as he set a flame on, I'm like, they fucking got me.
No. Yeah. When he goes, and you dickbags, blah, 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 and Deadpool's like, what? You know. He's like, okay, whatever. He's going to say it. Avengers, flame on! I'm like, oh, shit. I lost it.
Yeah, I was doing my best to avoid spoilers, which, by the way, everyone that's just throwing them out there, fuck you.
Okay.
I feel so bad, like, my dad, who is super busy, he's like, I'm seeing so many spoilers. And he's not even on Instagram or anything. It's just, you know, the Google algorithm, like, is showing him the shit. And I was just like, I know, you gotta go see it, like, as soon as you can.
Before you get into your thing, can I just quickly say, we all tried to see it together, so we saw it as of this recording earlier this week on Monday, which would have been like a couple days after the week after it came out, which meant like fucking everybody got to see it, and avoiding spoilers is so difficult, and you just were like blind scrolling and shit like that, trying to like adjust your algorithm. So it was really hard to do, just so that we can kind of like, you know, it's a big movie, so we can all see it together.
I stayed completely off of Instagram and completely off of Twitter, X, whatever the fuck you want
to
call it.
I managed to avoid everything other than just there was. I saw some headline about like big Marvel star being in it.
Yeah,
and I assumed it was going to be Captain America. And so when he first popped up at the very beginning, I'm like, oh, okay. But then again, where it all went?
I will say,
Superhero Landing.
I will say, like, during that weekend, the opening weekend, people were holding back and from giving major spoilers by warning and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then as soon as like fucking Monday hit, Mm-hmm. They're like, no, we're just boom. There you go.
All right. Bets are off.
Yeah. Well, I think like because the panel, the Deadpool panel at Comic-Con, he brought out like all of those people.
Yeah.
So that was the one where like people were starting to talk about who was showing up the cameos. It's like, no, don't so send.
I saw that video on IGN, and like on the video, the caption said like, warning, big spoilers ahead. Scroll if you don't want any spoilers. Blah blah blah. For whatever reason, I like instinctually hit it with the comment section, and IGN pinned their own comment that said, if you don't want spoilers, why are you here? I'm like, nope, you're right. And I scrolled off of it.
I love it.
No, even Rachel tried to hit me. She's like, did you see the panel at Comic-Con? I was like, no!
Yeah. Shut the fuck! Explains there, her black eye.
It was wild.
You know, I did like the story with that Logan being down and out and he fucked up and killed everyone and they kind of, his little redemption. It's a very typical story, but I liked it. I thought they did a good job with it. I was really happy to see Daphne Keene return as X-23, or Laura.
And her glasses returned as well.
Love yeah, it. I thought they did a good job with her and her connection to Logan, that Logan.
Mm-hmm. Am I the only one that thinks she's a little weird looking?
Wow, eyebrows. Mean.
She just she's like
her natural like angry eyebrows.
It's literally like when she's in the scenes where she's where she's sad. I'm like, oh, there's the real girl. And then when it snaps back to her just resting face, I'm like,
yeah, she has a breast. Yeah, she has RBF. Yeah.
Jesus, but she's a badass. She's in the Acolyte.
I'm a.
That's right.
Jackie.
She died.
Stabbed multiple times.
She got skewered.
I'm a dumpy, ugly Mexican, so I can speak on other people's not looking quite, 100%. So yeah. Come at me, come at me, girl. I don't care. Adult,
right? You're not making fun of a kid.
No. She's like 19 or something. Even when she popped up in this movie, I'm like, ooh, yeah, that she didn't grow out of that.
Oh man, how do you guys feel about the hunt for Wolverine? And we got to see so many different stuff.
That's where those references were straight up for the heavy comic book nerds. Mm-hmm. For me, like, I didn't know the eye patch, patch Wolverine. Patch. I didn't know the one-handed full berserker Wolverine.
Age of Apocalypse.
There you go. I did know the tan suit and him battling Hulk. Like, that one, I was like,
oh, that suit looked good.
It looked amazing.
That was kind of like, we should have just gotten that suit the whole time.
I agree. I totally agree. That was full comic accuracy.
I heard possibly in the... not the
internet?
No, not the Doom.
What the fuck is the internet?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
The what's the other Marvel movie that's supposed to come out?
Secret Wars?
I heard he's possibly gonna have his yellow and brown suit in that.
So. Yeah. Wasn't like the rumor that they're gonna bring in like 80 characters or something?
Yeah, it was like
I'm sure it's just gonna be like a quick flash and we'll see everything.
We're not mentioning the Ultimate Fan Service.
Wait, hold on. Before you get to that one, when he popped up with in between Hulk and Wolverine, and like he gives him that line, like
you dull creature.
I hadn't remembered that was what Loki said to him in the first movie before he got smashed back and forth.
There's a few lines where I was like, that's so familiar.
I was watching a breakdown and I saw, I'm like, oh yeah, that was funny as shit.
Love it. Before we get into the main what you guys are talking about, I want to give a fuck ton of credit to Hugh Jackman over the years, that no matter which movie he's in, no matter what X-Men movie he's in, no matter if it's a bad one, Origins, he's always acting the fuck out of his role.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so in this one, I'm so glad, because it could have totally did the thing where he kind of like, he winks at camera, and he has a joke or something like that. I am so glad that they kept him as like the grumpy straight man, and didn't give him some like throwaway like Channing Tatum's gambit line. I'm so very happy that they didn't ruin his character by doing any of that, and they were true to him and his internal conflict and shit like that. You may now.
Anyway, say it. Say his name.
That fan service, baby.
Say his name.
So there have been, the rumors of Henry Cavill getting cast as Wolverine. For some reason, I don't know why every character that people want casted is Henry Cavill. They're like, the new Magneto, Henry Cavill. Yeah. I was just sitting there like, bro.
give him something.
Because I think I read that even his Warhammer stuff might be in jeopardy. Like, give him something.
So So he left nothing.
Yeah. But I think it's something like they had a certain amount of time to do shit or Amazon and they're lagging. And
I just love that Deadpool told him, he's like, come to this side, we'll treat you better over here. And I was like, damn, that shit was funny.
We'll treat you better than those guys down the block.
But man, but honestly, seeing him though, like just, I was like, bro.
And did you know, and his own little reference thing, did you notice him doing the Mission Impossible?
Yes.
Yeah.
The loading his fucking hands.
But it was the claws coming out.
I was like, oh, that's another thing.
Yeah.
Brain. The cavalry.
Right?
Yeah, the cavalry.
Can we take a cum break?
To the cum pods.
I do like that before this movie came out, they were making a big deal out of the female Deadpool.
It's driving me nuts.
And we didn't, like, there was nothing there.
I almost love that they did that.
They're like, who is it? Who is it?
Yeah, as if, like, she was going to, like, pull her mask off and stuff.
I was fully expecting demasking and, like, that shit.
I'm glad that they didn't. I'm so glad. Again, I'm one of these people, I don't give a shit.
But it was really cool. So she was played by Blake Lively. Matthew McConaughey played the cowboy Deadpool.
Awesome.
Reynolds' kid was Kidpool.
Yeah.
Who else am I missing? One of the guys on Wrexham was the Welsh pool, which I thought was the Mexican pool.
Hmm.
What else am I missing? Oh, Nate Fillion was head pool.
Was he?
He was a floating head thing. I was like, that's awesome. Familiar.
That's cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun potential to bring in friends and everything like that.
Oh, I think Rob McElhenney was one of the TVA guys, I think, in the opening that got beat down. I don't remember.
Were they all fully masked? No, I don't remember.
But it was it was very much that like Star Wars thing where like Daniel Craig was a stormtrooper.
You want to be a stormtrooper?
Yeah.
Do you want to be a stormtrooper?
Do you want to miss your shot?
But that's what I'm saying. Like Reynolds is like, no, let's just make this. It might be the last fucking Deadpool movie I do. Let's do it up and big. And he did. Brought all his friends and family to come and do it.
Oh no,
it was a huge spectacle. He Deadpooled
the shit out of that movie.
When Ryan Reynolds hangs up Deadpool, they should just retire that character.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
absolutely. 1,000%.
Like, there's no one else who's going to bring that same energy to it.
It will be exciting to see him pop up in like Secret Wars or something.
Yeah,
like when they do bring in everybody.
That's what I'm curious about.
You're going to have a very serious moment, and then it's just going to be fucking Deadpool.
Like, there's some implication that he has a bigger purpose, right? Because it wasn't to do what he did, which is save the world. But per the story, Deadpool Wolverine, some of the higher-ups of the TVA brought Deadpool in. Because I'm like, why is Paradox bringing Deadpool in if he's just going to, like, fuck up his world or whatever? It's because, you know, Paradox had his own side quest or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, so why are they bringing Deadpool in? So he's going to have a bigger purpose. So how are you going to integrate a fourth wall-breaking person like him into a normal-ish movie? I'll be very fascinated and impressed if they do that. Like, well.
Especially if he meets She-Hulk, because she also breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah, you can do it.
Who the fuck are you talking to? No, who are you talking to?
I wish there was a moment that Wolverine was like, who the fuck are you talking? You know, just one of those little moments in the movie.
They did have that moment with Nicepool.
With Nice,
where he goes, oh, I could do light fourth wall breaking too. And he looks at the camera and goes, the proposal. And he goes, who the fuck are you talking to?
Does he say who he's talking to?
He says something along those lines, or
it is.
Oh,
he's like, is that what it looks like when I do it? Like,
it is one of those, but it's more so Wolverine because he's always there with Wolverine.
Yeah,
and he's doing, you know, those little moments. But my thing is, having him enter the MCU, are we going to find out why Thor was crying?
You saw like Ryan Reynolds like posted something like, I know why.
I think
it's a stupid like little dumb joke reason, and because it's basically the scene from Dark World, Thor Dark World, right?
Or they Loki's just replaced dying. Loki
with Matt Damon.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Money shot.
I'm just looking more into the movie than what I should. And ultimately, it was a very fun movie, and it was super cool, and some of the action sequences were really, really great. Some of them, not so much. A lot of, like, the typical Marvel stuff.
Hmm. Like, the last standoff?
The big last fight. Like, I feel like Marvel just doesn't do those well. Like, a bunch of people fighting, and they just do, like, kind of a back shot, and you can kind of just see, like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, when they finally did hone or zone in on a particular person fighting, I was like, hey, cool. But you're right, when it was just, like, kind of the shaky camera and the smoke and behind the things, I'm like, well.
Yeah, and one, even just the setting of the wasteland or whatever they were calling it, like, in Loki, it looked kind of cool and like, atmospheric and void. Stuff. Yeah, the void.
Yeah.
And in this, it was just a fucking desert.
Yeah.
With a few things scattered here and there. And
it's like, Mad Max.
Like, I felt like that looked really cheap.
IP infringement.
And then even the Mad Max stuff, like, the way they shot that, I was like, God, man, it makes a difference the way they shoot this kind of stuff. Because this was essentially Mad Max cars in a Mad Max setting. And it's like, compared to...
Fucking scene for scene.
Compared to Furiosa or Fury Road, it's like, God, it makes such a difference.
Ooh, that's a little janky.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little...
It's because of the Fantastic Four car. It made it look real janky.
But it's a little, like, just clean and yeah. Like... And, you know, we've established we're, like, pretty big fans of, like, Zack Snyder on this show. And so, same thing. Even, like, watching some of those action sequences, I found myself, like, appreciating Snyder's, like, work with superhero stuff so much better with the slow-mo and, like, the way he frames it and lights it and stuff like that. This was just so bright and, like, here's some people punching each other, and we're just standing here with our camera filming it.
Speaking of that opening void scene when they're first there... Is your first Deadpool Wolverine fight was a fuck ton of fun.
Was that the first one? It felt like there was like five.
Get your special sock ready.
Oh yeah.
Seeing Wolverine go full animal and like basically running on all fours for a quick second, I was like, holy shit, that's fucking brutal. Because as all the other like Logan based movies came out, he was a little more and more animalistic, a little more superhuman, a little more berserker with like how he jumped and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And this one was like, no, let's really show like full Wolverine physics. And he got to see that, and that was a blast.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of full Wolverine physics, we skip past it a little bit, but the comic accurate height Wolverine.
Well, the variants. I feel like they exaggerated the shortness.
They did because he's like 5'3". Like 5'3".
Yeah.
I was like, that's shorter than 5'3".
That's way shorter than 5'3". Yeah, he was barely Barstool.
Yeah.
Still awesome.
What made it more silly, though, is like his hair was more like parted down the middle.
Yeah.
You know, in this weird... what is it, the Lollipop Guild, the Munchkin Kids, they have their hair sort of parted. It's like the mayor of Whoville.
Yeah. We also got like Old Man Logan, which I never read that. Yeah. I never read the comic, but I always heard it was really, really good.
Yeah, I haven't read that one either, but I was going through some of the research for this and I'm like, oh, listening to the story, I'm like, oh shit, I need to pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
Does everybody have like a favorite moment in the movie that stands out?
I don't know about favorite moment. I have to think about that for a little longer, but I will give a fuck ton of credit for the actual opening credit scene. Because compared to Deadpool 2, where it was more of like a nod to James Bond and having Celine Dion singing and everything, that was fine. Like, it was funny, but it was fine. But there's something special about like that, bringing back that Deadpool 1 freeze frame opening, cue the music kind of thing. That was a blast, and I'm glad that he brought that back for 3.
I almost lost my shit laughing though when it was like, how do we like respect Logan or whatever? We don't.
We don't. Oh man.
There was two, like, I have a little bit of a cough, so I had to kind of hold back my laughter because I would have just blacked out. It happens to me. So that, and then I literally like choked on my fucking spit when he got his new suit and they were showing, you know, like the cupping the balls and slapping. Yeah. Like, that was funny enough, but then when he comes out and says, your tailor's a predator. I was like, fucking good God. Like, and that was easily a line that you could probably have missed, because if you were too busy laughing at already what you've seen, like, yeah, there's so many of those like little moments in that whole thing.
And that's the kind of humor that I love. Like, ever since watching Deadpool 1, I go, oh, There are people, there are things that like have my deranged sense of humor needing to make a joke at every fucking moment, breaking my own fourth wall. Like, we got that in 3 fucking movies, and to have that here, and for him throwing those little lines here and there, it kind of adds like a rewatchability aspect to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that a lot of these movies fail at, is the rewatchability. So this one got it. They did a good job on that one.
He did have another car fight scene because in the first movie, the leak footage.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, of him fighting in the car.
Leak.
Because we got another, yeah.
Did anyone else get the... Has anyone seen the car jujitsu?
Fucking love it.
Like that.
I was thinking about that too the whole time.
That whole minivan scene, I was like, oh, this is them. They're using the seatbelts and all that shit. I'm like, where's the fucking four cameras in there? And the guy's like, the referee kind of running around outside of the car.
What the hell?
Looking for it.
Yeah. I know, I think I mentioned it after we saw it, that my one big complaint, and I totally absolutely understand why, is it still just feels like another Marvel movie that didn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, I know, like, they themselves probably don't know where the fuck they're going, especially at the time they filmed this. And, I mean, who knows if they already knew the Doctor Doom stuff. But, like, part of me was expecting the mutant, like, crossover, like, at least a little bit of introduction to, like, him leading the mutants into the 616. Like, I was just expecting a little something. And we didn't get in, and it's not like that's not enough to ruin the movie. But as far as the overall MCU experience, like, this is just another nod. I did love the shit out of all the footage during the trailer, though. The behind the scenes footage.
Anytime you throw that stuff. The Green Day music on, like,
Green Day music, and then like some montage of people having a good time. Yeah.
I don't know if I was expecting it. I kind of like that it didn't go anywhere, because it would have kind of been its own joke, where it's like. Yeah, you would have made fun of that, you know, but they did kind of softly bring mutants into that universe, you know, without having a whole ensemble and stuff like that. People are even talking about, like, well, why didn't we get to see, like, other X-Men and Charles and stuff like that? I'm like, well, I think it would have taken away from that Logan's whole fucking turmoil. It would have really taken away from that. Plus, you know, spoiler alert, they all fucking died. Although I think I would have been okay with like a flashback, so you kind of still technically get them in the movie, you know, maybe in their own suits. That'd been cool, you know.
I was kind of expecting that at some point, like during the movie. I was like, oh, I wonder if they were going to show everyone else in their comic accurate.
That could have been that opportunity.
Cool to see the original crew.
That could have been the opportunity.
Yeah, original.
Yes, it would have been dead and bloody, but you know. as far as there's so many things in the movie where it's like. Yes, there's the cameos, and you never know what to expect with the Deadpool movies. But going back to the Logan and using his body, talk about the things that I did not expect. I mean, belly laugh through the whole thing, and the way that he's using his body, the adamantium bones, and, you know, using him as a puppet and shit like that. I was like, wow, they went full disrespect to Logan. But you had to, you know?
Yeah.
But then they kind of like brought it back by letting them know, like, no, this universe does respect, you know, Logan for his sacrifice.
Yeah. Oh, the fucking sword bounce. That had to have been one of the coolest things I'd seen. Yeah, so clean, so quick. Like, God, that was cool.
Oh, and as far as pop culture reference, get my country's name out of your mouth. Yes! Yes!
So well done.
So many fucking just laugh out loud moments in this thing. Like, and like I said, I expected it from that shit, from Deadpool itself. So
did you catch the Stanley cameo?
I didn't. I was doing a rewatch on the, or not a rewatch, the breakdowns, and I saw it, and I'm like, oh, fuck,
Stanley?
I missed it.
Mm-hmm. Stanley?
Who's Stanley? Catch it?
No, I don't think I.
Oh, Stanley.
Stanley.
Stanley?
Oh.
Stanley?
You said Stanley. I was like.
Stanley Ipkiss?
No. So during the fight down the street, and they're, you know, they jump into the bus. On the side of the bus, there's a marquee for Stanley Steamers.
Oh.
His picture holding, like, you know, a steamer.
That's fun. In the breakdown, by the way, there's, it's those references that I love that are thrown in there, because I'm not a deep comic book nerd. And evidently, the building that Wolverine and Deadpool get thrown into by Cassandra.
Liefeld's
Only feet.
Yeah, only feet. Apparently he was not able to draw feet.
No, he constantly drew them behind rocks or something like that. Like, everyone stood behind rocks.
And I just appreciate stood
behind other characters.
I appreciate those types of references, those types of Easter eggs that make you want to go. That's a lot of respect on the comic book realm. You know, even if you're just, I mean, what other fucking thing are they doing? Other movie are they, like, referencing those things? Like, I kind of love that.
I, you know, again, it's one of those, like, maybe I'm just a cynic.
I think
like,
so.
It's awesome. How can you it's not like great. That? No, it's awesome. Great respect. As long as it's actually someone that's like doing it genuinely or fluidically, like as they're writing it, like, oh, wouldn't it be fun if we did this? There's a part of me that hopes that Disney doesn't have just like a fucking team in there, like, when can we put this in? Like, robotically putting it in.
They do that with numbers, right? Like, comic book issues. They do a license plate. They do all the fucking time. You know what I'm saying?
And again,
that's their little thing. Like,
if it's someone that's like actually passionate about it, and we'll never know, then yeah, it's kind of cool. Especially, you know, if it's something that's maybe snuck in that maybe even the producers don't even know about or something like that. Like, that's the kind of stuff that's cool. But when it becomes like a machine of just pumping out Easter eggs to give people nerd boners. It's kind of like, that's not the reason we like this shit. Like,
they put things in there for everybody, though. Like it's things for the hardcore people, and it's just cynical. For like the regular fans, you know.
I know I've repeated myself so many times. It's just like, this shit is cool for its own stuff, and it's not because of the Easter eggs and not because of the references and the cameos and like... That's not why any of this stuff should be cool, and I do just feel like there's a big, big focus on it from not even from them and from even the fans and the people watching and all the YouTubers and stuff. And I get it because it makes fucking content, right? If it's just a good movie, there's not a lot of content to be made. But if there's cameos and Easter eggs and stuff like that, you can make fucking content. So I think it's like the way the audience is constructed these days almost demands this kind of movie, and this is what we got. And maybe that's why I'm so like it was a good movie, but I'm also kind of mad because this is just like it's a movie made for content creators, and the audience is becoming either content creators themselves
I totally agree with you, like, for creators. Sure, right? Like, the thing's always like a money grab and to make all these little clips and but why not just lean in on it, you know, the way that they do? Why the fuck not?
Because our movies are going to be 2-hour long TikTok soon, instead of Christopher Nolan's Batman Begins. Where like, I feel like if Batman Begins came out in like today's world, like, people would love it. It's still an awesome movie, but there's not the content to make from it, so it probably would just fade off into the next thing.
But in particular, we're talking Deadpool Wolverine.
I know, like
The movie to do it is Deadpool Wolverine.
Yeah,
the movie that you can't be cynical about them doing it because it's like the master of meta references is Deadpool Wolverine.
Here's the thing, though:
if they didn't do, they'd be like, oh, you know, they could have done something.
I still am a little bit mad because it was Deadpool that caused DC to tell David Ayer to reshoot fucking Suicide Squad and turn it into the monstrosity that it ended up being. It's because the everyone saw how much money Deadpool made because it's a funny it's a funny movie.
That's indirect. You blame the directors and the timing and all that shit.
But you know, the same thing's going to happen with this. This movie's doing amazingly well. And you know, even Marvel's going to sit there and say, like, oh, man, people... They love this funny stuff. They love the references.
They did that as far back as Guardians of the Galaxy. I've said this before. Where they go, oh, we can make it funny, and then Guardians 2 came out, and absolutely everybody and their fucking uncle had a funny line in there. I was like, no. And then all the subsequent Marvel movies, like Avengers, like Ragnarok, or and Love and Thunder, like, not everything has, it's like the tone change where everyone has to crack
I'm
a joke.
I'm hoping by now like they've that. Learned their lesson and recognize definitely. That certain characters can do it and certain characters not.
Because Drax... I wish we got that comic book Drax.
Cue it.
My nipples.
Okay, lastly, I have to.
Mary Poppins, y'all.
I have to talk about some like body horror moments with Cassandra Nova, the way she reads minds.
Ugh, that was visceral.
Oh,
that was
like the shit out of me.
Get your hands out, like, just reaching through the eye, like the under animation. The eye, and the eyes were popping up as her.
The animation is so good.
I need
good
one
on
of
that.
Those massages. Like, just really, like, come at me, bro.
I really am just like the negative fucking Nancy in this
deep
show.
Tissue.
What the hell? That was a great.
I'm gonna fight you real good.
That was a great example of, I think, something that works so, so well in the comic books. Like, I mean, I don't know if I've ever actually seen that a panel of that happening, but I could picture it. I can picture some really well done art, splash page, you know, you turn the page and fucking hand coming through the head or something like that, and it'll look amazing. On that, even though it was done very, very well, the animation was super, super good, it just still looked just off to me. It looked like it was, it just, It still bugged me. I mean, Rudy probably saw, like, felt me squirming because it was so squirmy and it was more weird, especially when the eyeball, like,
that. All when they did it to Paradox. The nose, when they did it to Paradox, it was like, and then the way she, like, carried him.
Yeah, like, that was cool.
And just he just, like, went limp body. It was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
See, but that's the thing, though. I feel like you're going to need this type of stuff to eventually come in there because once X-Men come into the picture, you're going to have these type of powers. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to get used to seeing, you know, this type of stuff. Even though there was some points where everything was CGI, but I didn't mind that, you know. It was a nice blend, but just looking at it, you know, it's getting us ready for what's to come.
Definitely. Because the X-Men certainly have way more powers compared to what we've seen in the Avengers stuff so far. And
how'd you feel about the Wolverine Deadpool splash page, them jumping out of the back of the bus moment?
Oh, yeah. I love that kind of stuff.
I was like, don't tell me a word, splash page.
Yeah, no, I think all comic book movies need to have some sort of, like, slow-mo and like, shots like that. Like, that is part of the fun.
Even Rachel, who's not necessarily a deep comic book fan, when that, she was like, and even afterwards when we were talking about it on the way home, she was like, that one where they come out, that was fucking cool.
Hell yeah.
I was like, oh.
That ended with Deadpool falling, though, right? Like, ruined the moment. Perfect.
I'm going to be so mad that I ruined it. I didn't stick the landing.
Yeah.
I love his ridiculous jump, like, when he jumps into the portal, his, like, little, like, yeah, like, that little, like, just that silhouette just kills me. Like, I just need that picture. That shit is money to me.
What else?
There's,
you know what? Going back to fucking Hugh Jackman, much credit to him, that he is really fucking huge Jackman. He is jacked to fuck. I mean, you know, they wrote in a reason if it had to have his shirt blown off, and I'm so glad that they did, and I'm glad they used the correct amount of oil, and they didn't shave his chest or nothing like that. Like, total bear, honey badger moment. I loved it, you know, and they didn't just have it for a shot and then throw a jacket on him. Like, they really milked that whole thing. I am all for it. That guy looks fucking great. How old is he?
I don't know. Maybe old enough.
He's forever
years old.
That. Old enough.
Oh, we didn't talk about
grass on the field. Play ball.
Yeah.
Stupid. I was surprised that they gave
55.
Him, they gave him the shirtless scene. Yeah. I really was. That throwaway line where they said, like, he wears the suit because he's let himself go.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, so you're not going to get the shirtless. And then he did it. I was like, oh.
I do remember he was working out, like,
yeah,
hard.
He gives a shit about this role.
For this movie, so.
After he did the first one, I think I heard him in an interview talking about it, where he's like, oh, I thought it was fit and stuff like that. And I don't know if he's seen any, you know, some other people in other roles. And he's like, no, I need to bring it.
Yeah.
You know, he's always been very humble about mm-hmm. him as Wolverine, being that he's a whole foot taller than the source character.
I like how they just faded away after movie 5 or 6. Everyone was like, oh, no, Hugh Jackman is Wolverine.
Yeah.
Don't matter that he's like 6'3" or whatever. Tallverine.
Tallverine? Is that a thing? I just
made it up.
Part of that scene was, of course, Cassandra Nova doing the typical thing, which I normally hate that kind of ending of, like, let's just have the villain stand here and then some colors fucking happen around her.
Yeah.
But I do give props, and they started this effect with Loki in the Loki series.
Oh, the noodling?
The noodling is such a cool effect, mm-hmm. and I was glad to see it again, because again, if you watch the Loki series, when they were unraveling time, it was that noodling, and it's not quite as bad as just like a kaleidoscope of colors as someone acts in front of it going, oh.
that part,
like, 5 minutes later,
I know,
and then they did the speed up
thing. At wow. that a little bit.
You were hard to please lately.
So you didn't like Brad Pitt's cameo as the Invisible Man in
Deadpool? Oh, my God.
The Vanisher.
Oh, that was fucking great.
You know, Brad Pitt makes a cameo in the Imaginary Friends movie as the invisible character.
That's wow. awesome.
He's credited as that character, Kevin or something.
You hear that, Marvel? Step it up. Doug wants you to step shit up.
I do.
Well, I mean, we all do.
Like I said earlier, I love all this shit for a reason, and I'm not saying they need to make the movie for me. I don't want comic books and sci-fi and Star Wars and Star Trek and stuff to kind of lose lose its way just in order to broaden the audience or something like that. Actually, brings me to a point. Chris Pine, speaking of Star Trek, he just said recently at a con a couple months ago, he was talking about Star Trek in particular, that maybe it is time to make Star Trek movies for Star Trek fans again instead of trying to broaden the audience. Mm-hmm. And he recognizes, like, there's a cost to that, right? And, you know, you spend $500 million to make a movie. Obviously, you need the broadest audience you can to bring that in. The Star Trek fans alone aren't going to bring that. So he was saying, like, yeah, maybe you have a few less explosions and you use film instead of, like, expensive digital stuff and you focus on the characters and stuff more. Like, I'm not saying all the stuff needs to be like that, but I do kind of agree that, like, yeah, maybe we need to start making some of this stuff for us, for the people that appreciate a comic book for what it can be. And if it is less explosions and less special effects, like, that's fine.
Absolutely agree with that sentiment. Do you think it'll happen going forward?
Not from the big two. I think we might get lucky and get some cool indie stuff, maybe. But the problem with the internet is people are going to watch that anything compared to the big explosion fancy stuff and say this is garbage, and then no one will watch it, and people won't want to do it.
Does the Penguin fall into that for you? Like, more like grounded?
Oh, absolutely.
Batman, like, story driven.
Batman and anything in the Batman universe is perfect for that, because you don't need the special effects, because they're not, those characters don't exist unless you want to bring in, like, Mr. Freeze or maybe some of the others. Sandman. Yeah. Clayface.
Clayface, my bad.
Yeah. Clayface.
Remind me to slap you later.
Clayface.
God, if I had that thing, I would drop it on you right now.
Acting.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that's anyway. I don't know. I'm just ranting now at this point. But you're right. Like, the Penguin looks fucking amazing.
Like, and I heard it billed as the Sopranos in Gotham City. And I've never watched the whole Sopranos through, but I've seen episodes here and there, and I like the tone of that. And if they can recapture that for this and set it in, you know, Gotham City, let's go.
Yeah, I think just that and, like, any character stuff. I mean, like, I don't know. I'm definitely going on a tangent here. Green Lantern. I love Green Lantern, right? But one, we've already gotten the one movie, speaking of Ryan Reynolds, right? I don't know if I ever really want to see a Green Lantern movie again, because it's just the special effects is going to be too much. Cartoon, I'd love to see them put in a cartoon. I know DCU is making a Green Lantern series, and they're calling it more like a True Detective stuff. I hope it's like a True Detective series and not necessarily just them blasting things with their rings every 20 minutes. Like, I'd love to see them, like, barely use their powers.
But I feel like they would have people on the opposite side of that saying, like, what the fuck? I was waiting for some powers, like with Iron Man 3. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, but that's Iron Man 3. It's fucking stupid.
But what I'm saying is, like, there's going to be people arguing both sides of that always, every fucking time.
Bad comparison, Iron Man. But
great point. Like, Green Lantern is a fucking special effects palooza because of the way his powers work.
Yeah, and exactly, which means they'll never be able to make a Green Lantern series or show for a Green Lantern fan. They'll have to make it for the broader audience because they'll need to pay for the special effects. Or the special effects are going to look cheesy as shit. Mm.
Oh, man.
Like, those are your two options.
I wouldn't mind having a toned down special effects if it served the story.
Mm-hmm.
Or it allowed them to serve the story better than, you know, having to make it a broader audience appeal and, you know, explosions everywhere and big CGI heavy fights and all that stuff. But, I mean, that's Hollywood. Hollywood exists to make money, and, like, where there's only so much you can do with that.
Yeah.
Because they want that return on the investment.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We always do find ourselves, like, around that same topic of, like, where's the balance, you know, getting the butts in the seats and making the money back compared to the budget. I mean, Deadpool Wolverine was a $200 million budget, and they made, as of right now, $550 million. So,
result?
Yeah. It gets tough. It gets tricky.
See, this is where, like, the studios of, like, Disney should, like, all right, we're going to make some money off of this, and maybe it's okay we lose a little money on this one, but we did something, I don't know, with a soul. Not from Disney.
Tell corporate, tell corporate people that shit. Like, what do you mean? What are these words, losing money?
I know, yeah.
You know? And then they would pull a lever, and you would fall through a trap door of dildos, and I got to bring it back.
Wait, they're
butt plugs. Sorry.
My bad.
Yeah, yeah.
So fuck, stay on brand, face. Fucker.
Oh, so they're rewarding me for my idea?
I tried this one, I tried that one, I tried this one.
They're up there just like, oh, God.
My favorite was in the corner. I've named him Jermaine.
And on that note.
Yeah, on that
that's
note.
As good as place as any. I'm going to wrap it up.
Wait, but so generally, how do we feel about Deadpool and Wolverine?
Oh, go watch it. It's awesome. It's a great movie. I don't know how anyone could say anything bad about it.
Shit. All right. Well, yeah. There you go. All right, not throwing your line.
That's as good a place as any to wrap this episode up. Find us on Instagram and TikTok at The Hype Attack. And if you're listening to this, check us out. We are pleasing to the eye on youtube.com/ The Hype Attack Podcast. Doug?
Yes, keep the conversation going. Hit us up in the comments and the DMs. If you have our number, you can call us and tell us how right I am about this movie. And these guys are okay. No, let us know. Let us know how you feel about superhero stuff in general and Comic-Con if you went or if you didn't go and you want to go. And yeah.
Are you guys excited for the future of comic book movies?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Let us know.
So,
same idea. I thought you wanted to. Jump in, I think.
Why? Okay. Why? Whatever.
I don't know. You were like eyeballing everybody.
No, I step on toes around here and I get yelled at. So I stay in my lane.
That's my line.
I'm the guy behind the fucking chair.
That's my line, Rudy.
I press the buttons. Go ahead and do your. Go ahead and do your thing.
Yeah. What happened? Go right ahead now? And do your thing. What just happened? You went into a different role.
You looked at me like. How dare you? You look like you're gonna jump in and fucking take my line. No, I've done that once, and you went off.
That's right, because it's my line. But yes. I was trying to see if you wanted anything else to add to any of this.
I love it.
Well, good thing.
Thank you.
In the meantime, check us out next time. Same hype time. Same hype
channel. You know what? Fuck off. Do that again.
Same hype time.
I hate you, and I'm leaving all this in. By the way, do it again.
Take three. Till next time. Same hype time. I did it again, didn't I?
Yes.
What are we doing?
Same hype time.
Our
outro. It is till next time. I have it written here. Till next time, same hype time, same hype channel.
Hype Talky.
I hadn't had the button pressed, sorry.
I'm so confused.
Oh, wait, there it is.
Hype Attack. Almost like that.